Welcome back again. It's so good to be here today, and I'm so excited for us to be able to go into the Word of God together. I'm so excited for us to allow God to speak to us through His Word today on Resurrection Sunday. And so I want you to get your Bibles out with me, get ready to go into the Word. Scriptures are going to be posted so you can see it as well, and we can interact. Hey, listen, I can't hear you saying amen. I can't hear you agreeing with me or just being in the Spirit with me, so feel free, throw it in the comment box, throw it in there, just, you know, say amen in your house. You know, let's just have church together, amen? We are the church, but let's have church together. So I want to talk to you a little bit today, and the title of my message for you on this Resurrection Sunday is Because He Lives. Just want you to say that with me right now. Because He Lives. And you know, as I was reflecting and praying about what I was going to share with you today, my mind and my heart was brought to all the amazing and brave and courageous men and women right now in our church and in our culture who are on the front lines of battling this COVID-19 situation. You know, I'm particularly thinking of our healthcare workers. I'm thinking of our doctors. I'm thinking of our nurses. I'm thinking of other healthcare providers. I'm thinking of social workers. I'm thinking of people who are in areas of government and leadership who are on the front lines. Other people, I mean, across the board, who are putting themselves at risk in many ways to serve and help others. You know, several things in just reflecting on this that really stuck with me. You may have seen some of this. There was this photo I saw that was from Italy, and actually showed Italian police officers lining up, and they were saluting all these doctors and nurses who were coming off planes and coming to the airport who were coming from China. They had been through the worst part of the crisis themselves, and now they were coming into another nation so they could try and assist and they could try and help there. Man, it just impacted me. I thought they'd already been through this battle in their own nation, but they were willing to give their time, their energy, to really sacrifice, to go and to help others. You know, that photo really stuck with me. Another photo that stuck with me was one, and actually was an online video, where it showed a scene outside of a hospital where a whole bunch of people were singing kind of a popular worship song, and they were just worshiping God. And then as you looked up on top of the hospital, you saw doctors and nurses who were lined up across the hospital, honoring personal space, proper social distancing between them, but their hands were just raised. And they were just worshiping Jesus and they were praising Jesus. I mean, it was such a moving video. And I think for each one of us, we can probably share or think of different images or videos that have really impacted us. There's videos coming in from across the globe. People are, you know, quarantined in their apartments and they're singing, or people are making these incredible sacrifices for us. And, you know, I was really thinking about that. And I was reminded of a commercial I saw years ago, and it was actually, I think, for the U.S. Marines. But it had this phrase that always stuck out to me. It says, when everyone else runs away from danger, they run towards it. Well, you know, we're not talking about Marines or soldiers right now, but we are definitely talking about these brave men and women who are running towards the danger instead of running away from the danger. You know, I know our lives have all been radically changed over the past several weeks, but I think we would all agree that what we've had to sacrifice, what we, many of us, have had to go through or not do anymore, pales in comparison to the sacrifices that are being made by these brave men and women. And so I just wanted to make sure I took a moment and just said very directly to anyone within our church communities on the front lines, thank you. We love you. We appreciate your sacrifice. We appreciate the price that you are paying right now to serve others. Even if I could say this broader to anyone else who's watching this stream or watching this online experience, thank you so much. If you're a doctor, thank you. If you're a nurse, thank you. If you're a healthcare provider, thank you. If you're one of our political leaders who is just going through so much stress to figure this out and to try and lead forward in this, thank you so much. Even people who are serving in grocery stores and in restaurants, and in we could just go on and name all these areas. If you are serving and you are really sacrificing to serve others, we just want to say thank you so much for what you're doing. I appreciate it. We appreciate it. Our church community appreciates it. We want you to know that we recognize what you're doing and we're saying thank you. And you know, it's interesting because this sacrificial attitude, this heart to serve others, even at personal risk, as I thought more about it, it really reminds me of and demonstrates to me the attitude that Jesus had. It reminds me of the heart Jesus had for each one of us. It reminds me of the heart that Jesus had to lay down his life. And so I thought it was important today. I wanted to say thank you. But I also think it's good for us to look at this example of sacrifice that people all around us are making and be reminded of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us through his death, his burial, and through his resurrection. We can see here, if you go to Matthew 20:28, it says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, this is such a powerful verse. Look at Jesus. Jesus was the King of the universe. Jesus was, you know, part of the Godhead. He was the Son of God. If there was anyone that would have a right to say, I'm God, you need to serve me. I'm God, you need to, you know, cater to my needs. I'm here to be served. He would have had that right. And yet, the Bible tells us he didn't come with that attitude at all. He didn't come to be served, but he came to serve, and he came to give his life as a ransom for many. In other words, he said, I'm coming to give my life, and I'm laying my life down for others. I'm laying my life down for all those who are in need. In Luke 5:31, and again, this is Jesus sharing his heart. He answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. And he was giving in this verse the context that he was coming not just for the healthy, not just for those who had it all together, not just for those who'd already got themselves worked out and got themselves sorted out. You know, you might be listening to this, you know, this online worship experience today, and you know you're not in the right place with God. And maybe in this season, you've really been, you know, considering your faith and considering your eternal destiny, but inside of you, you're thinking, I got to get my life together and then I can come back to God. I got to fix all these things and then I can come to him. But Jesus said, no. You don't tell a sick person, get better, then go to the hospital, right? You don't tell a sick person, get yourself better and then go in, you know, and go get help. No, if you're sick, go get help. And I want to encourage you, Jesus' heart for you is he's not looking for you to be perfect. He's not looking for you to have it all together. He's actually looking for you to take your mess, to take your problems, your challenges, your shortcomings. He's saying, just bring it all to me. Come to me just as you are, because I love you. I want to receive you. But as a doctor, I'm going to help you get better. And so don't wait. Don't hold off today. Make a decision. We're going to have an opportunity at the end of this service to come to him. You know, it's so interesting because there really is something very noble, isn't there, when someone lays down their life for others. There is something that is so noble, that is so powerful when someone says, hey, I'm going to give my life. You know, Jesus spoke of this as well in John 15:13, where he said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And obviously, there's several levels that we can look at this through. The first level is literally laying down our lives, because that's what Jesus did. That's part of what we're celebrating this weekend, that he laid down his life for each one of us. But you know, there's also the laying down of our lives on a regular basis. I would say and suggest today that, again, all these people who are on the front lines, who are sacrificing, they're laying down their life to help other people. They're giving of their life to help others, and this demonstrates a great love. I remember a story I heard years ago from a preacher, and he was talking about how he had an adopted son, and his adopted son had been through a lot in his life. He adopted him when he was older, and there was some real challenges that we were facing, and his adopted son was really struggling to, his son was really struggling to kind of get this concept of love. What does love really mean? What does love really look like? And so finally, one day he was talking to the preacher. He said, I got it. And he was sharing with his son. He said, real love is if you're in the roadway, you're about to get hit by a truck, I come and push you out of the way and take it for you. That's what real love is all about. And I thought there was something so profound in that. It was so deep in that level of saying that's what really love is expressed. When you really love someone, you're saying, hey, I would lay down my life for you without even a second thought. And I think that's so powerful because that is what Jesus did for us. And that is what we are remembering and we are celebrating even today and over this weekend. We're remembering that Jesus laid down his life for us. We're remembering that there was a truck coming to hit us. It was judgment. It was the wages of sin, but Jesus stepped in. He pushed us out of the way, and he took it on himself. And so we're celebrating this day he laid his life down. But also today, being Resurrection Sunday, it didn't just finish there, right? It didn't just stop that he laid down his life. He laid down his life, but then he rose again. Let me read to you from Philippians 3:10-11. It says, I continually long to know, this is from the Passion Translation, the wonders of Jesus more fully and to experience this overflowing power of his resurrection working in me. I will be one with him in his sufferings. I will be one with him in his death. Only then will I be able to experience complete oneness with him in his resurrection from the realm of death. See, guys, I want to encourage you, family, today. Jesus died so we could be forgiven. Jesus died so we could be free. I mean, there's so much. We talked about it just this past Good Friday about what Jesus died for. But I want you to know that he didn't just die, but he rose again. And he rose again so you and I could experience resurrection life. That's what we see here in this passage from Philippians. It's Paul was talking about. He says, I want to know the wonders of Jesus more fully and experience the overflowing power of his resurrection working in me. That's what this day is all about. Yes, it is about remembering that he died, but it's also remembering he rose again. He lives. And because he rose again, because he lives, we can experience the wonders of Jesus and we can experience the overflowing power of his resurrection working in us. You know, as I was working on this message, there was an old song that came to mind. And I'm not going to sing it for you, but I just want to share some of the lyrics. Some of you will know this song. Many of you may not, because it's definitely an oldie, but a goodie. And it started off by saying this: God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. And it goes on to say, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. And I know for many of you, that song started to echo in your memory. Maybe some of you started to hum it or even sing it as I was saying that. But I thought it was so powerful, this song, and it spoke so late. There's an empty grave to prove my Savior lives. Yes, he came to love, heal, forgive. He lived and died to buy our pardon. But the grave is empty. There's an empty grave that proves he lives. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, guys, I know he holds the future. My life is worth the living just because he lives. Now, let's just talk and address this for a few moments, guys. I know right now we are living in a very challenging time. You know, we've already referenced this for many of those who are on the front lines, but I think for everyone here, everyone watching this online, watching this online experience, you have experienced challenges in this time. Every family has experienced challenges. There's much that each one of us are facing. You know, for many of us, we are not sure what tomorrow holds. You might be watching this and you are thinking, I have no idea what's coming. I have no idea what tomorrow is going to hold. For a lot of us, there's a lot of fear right now. People are terrified. People are so afraid. And I understand, because there's so much change and there's so much that we don't know. And there's very real challenges that many of us are potentially facing because he lives. And we see that there's many people are struggling regarding their future. They're struggling regarding what the future may hold. They're struggling regarding what is going to happen to me. What is going to happen to my family? What is going to happen to my kids? Maybe some young people are watching this. You're saying, I just have no idea what is going to be happening. You know, people in different areas of life, in different stages are saying, I don't know what the future is going to hold. In many ways, our lives have been turned upside down. And so in the middle of all this, I just want to encourage you with these words again. Even though we don't know what tomorrow is holding for us, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Even though there's a lot of fear surrounding us, because he lives, all fear is gone. Even though we don't know exactly what is in the future, none of us can control it. None of us can see exactly what's going to happen. But you know what? Even though we don't know what's in the future, we know him who holds the future. He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives, right? Even if our life has been turned upside down in this season, because he lives, our life is worth the living. I want you to say this with me, because he lives. Come on, say it again, because he lives. Come on, one more time. I want you to just make a declaration wherever you are right now. You're in your living room. You're in your bedroom. You're sitting there. Maybe you're still in your pajamas. I want you to declare it today, because he lives. And let me encourage you with several things today. Because he lives, I want to talk to you about three things that we can be confident in and we can be sure about today because he lives. The first thing I want to encourage you is because he lives, we have protection. Because he lives, you and I have protection. You know what? The reason there's a lot of fear right now, and I completely understand it, is because there's concerns about COVID-19. There's concerns maybe about other things that may happen. I want to encourage you today, because Jesus lives, you can have faith and you can have confidence in the protection of God over your life. We have a risen Savior. And one of the things that he rose to help us experience is the power of God to bring protection. Let me read a couple of verses to you. Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2 says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust." Psalm 91, if we could continue to read, is an amazing psalm. It's an amazing passage. We've actually been doing a study on it. We completed a study on it, a daily verse-by-verse study we were doing as a church family just over the last couple weeks. But I love this. It's this promise of protection. When we walk with him, when we know Jesus, we dwell in the secret place of the Most High. We abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Because he lives, we can dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Because he lives, he is our refuge, our fortress, our God in whom we trust. I also love Isaiah 54:17, where it says, "No weapon formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is for me, says the Lord." I love that phrase, "No weapon formed against us will prosper." I want to speak that. I want to declare that over your life. Because he lives, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment will show me the wrong. Now notice, it didn't say because he lives, there will be no weapons formed against us. It didn't say because he lives, we'll never experience battles or difficult times. It didn't say because he lives, we are never going to go through hard situations in our life. What it says is, it says because he lives, even when there are weapons formed against you, they are not going to prosper. They are not going to succeed. They're not going to live. Because he lives, we can believe God for protection in this time. Because he lives, we can believe God for healing. Whatever battle we face, whatever comes against us, because he lives, we can believe him for this. I was reminded of a story that actually one of our team members here at TCC shared with me, Paul Martin. And he talked about one day he's got five kids. And so he and his wife are definitely obeying the command of the Lord to be fruitful and multiply. But you know, two of the little ones are very, very close. And one day he overheard them because he was actually in the shower. And one of the things they didn't like was they don't like being alone in the bathroom by themselves. They either want to be together or they just whatever. But he was in the shower and his two little ones were in there and he heard his son say to his daughter, "I'm going to leave now, but don't worry, you're going to be okay because daddy's here." And it just did something in his heart. And when he said it, I heard the voice of the Lord around that. Don't worry, because daddy is here, right? Daddy can handle it. There are things that might overwhelm us. There are things we don't know. There are things we don't understand, but we don't need to worry about it because daddy is here and daddy's got it covered. And I want you just to catch that today. Wherever you are, whatever circumstances you're facing, daddy has got it covered. Daddy is taking care of it. Because he lives, we have protection. Number two, I also want to encourage you today, not only do we have protection, but because he lives, we have provision. in this time, this season. I know, and you know, that one of the biggest stresses and challenges and concerns that are hitting so many of us have to do with provision, finances, how we're going to cover bills, how we're going to, you know, work and jobs. Many of us are facing real challenges there. And I want to encourage you today to put your faith in the provision that God has for us. You know, it's one thing to talk about provision. It's another thing to sing about provision and to pray about provision. It's another thing where we're in a season in our life where we're like, God, I need you to show up. I need you to come through. And I want to encourage you, you can believe him that he's going to come through for you. Why? Because he lives. Let me read you some verses. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to riches in glory in Christ Jesus." My God will meet every need. Now, it's interesting because Paul is writing to the Philippian church and they were going through very difficult times. This was not in a time where it was easy and everything was going the way they wanted to go. These were very challenging and difficult times. But he said, even in the middle of that, no matter what's going on around us, my God will meet all of our needs. And I want to encourage you today, because he lives, you can trust God for provision. Either you're facing a battle or a challenge, let this be a season where you come out the other side with amazing testimonies, because we put our faith in God and he provided. I love Psalm 34, verse 10, which says this: "The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." Those who seek the Lord will lack no good thing. And even in a time where there is want and there's hunger, if we seek God, he's going to make it so we lack no good thing. Because he lives, there is provision. Let me read you one more thing. This is from Matthew chapter 6, 25 to 34. And I'm just going to read this because it's one of Jesus' greatest sermons. It's one of his greatest messages. But I want you to hear this today as if it's not me sitting here speaking to you, but this is actually Jesus speaking to you, because it is. It's his word. And he says this: "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to your span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not so much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need them all. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." I want to encourage you today, let's hear these words from Jesus in a fresh light. Let's hear them today on Resurrection Sunday in a fresh way, that this is his living word to us. Do not be afraid. Do not be anxious, for your heavenly Father knows what you need, but seek first the kingdom and all this will be added unto you. Again, guys, in this season, for many of us, this is moving from a nice spiritual concept to a reality in our lives. Put your faith in God. Put your trust in him. Because he lives, we have provision. And finally, last but not least, because he lives, we said we have protection. Because he lives, we have provision. And last but not least, I want to encourage you, because he lives, we have peace. You know, obviously we've talked about provision, which is in a very natural light. We've talked about perfection, which our protection, excuse me, which is very natural light. But I think most of us do not even yet grasp just how impacting what we're going through right now as a nation, as a city, as nations around the world is affecting people's hearts, is affecting people's minds. There's so much fear. There is so much uncertainty. There's people who are losing their lives and that's impacting their families. There's fear about what may be coming in the future. And in the middle of this all, I want to encourage you that because he lives, you and I can have peace. We can have peace even in the middle of the storm. We can have peace because we know he protects us. We can have peace because we know he provides for us. And we can have peace in him. Let me read you a few verses today. John 16:33 says, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, or trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. See, he says, I'm saying this to you so you can have peace. In this world, you are going to have trouble. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. Tribulation talks about like really just intense seasons of pressure and problems. In many ways, part of what we're going through right now. But he said, but take heart. I have overcome the world. See, because he lives, because he has overcome, we can have peace. John 14, 27, he said this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I want to just encourage you today. I want to encourage each one of us with these words from Jesus. My peace I give you, not as the world gives. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Obviously, there's opportunity for our hearts to be troubled. There's opportunities for our hearts to be afraid in this season. But I want to encourage you in this time. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be afraid, but trust in him. Put your faith in him. Depend on him. Accept and walk in his peace. You know, there's another passage from the Message paraphrase that I just love, and it speaks about the peace that comes from it. Let me just read it to you. It says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me, this is Jesus talking about. Come away with me, and you'll recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. Isn't that a powerful passage? I want to encourage you, just hear those words from Jesus once again. My peace I give you. In this world, you're going to have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. I've given you my word that I may have peace. And they say, come, walk with me, work with me, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Because he lives, we have protection. Because he lives, we have provision. And because he lives, we have peace. I want to speak over your life right now in Jesus' name, peace. Just as Jesus stood in the middle of the storm and he said, peace, be still. I sit here and I stand in the name of Jesus in the middle of this storm around our lives and I say, peace, be still. You know, it's interesting because if we look at Jesus, there was another time. There was one time where he rebuked the storm. Another time, you know, he was just sleeping and the disciples woke him up. I mean, it's the same concept. They're like, Master, we're going to perish. He was in the middle of the storm sleeping. There's a grace and anointing to sleep in the middle of the storm. And that doesn't mean we're indifferent. It doesn't mean we don't have compassion for people. It doesn't mean we don't have a healthy sense of urgency to do our part in this time. But what it means is we do it from a place of peace. We do it from a place of welcoming other people into his peace. And I just want to encourage you in one last area that's really tied to this area of peace. We talked about provision, but seek first the kingdom of God. And I want to talk to you about having peace with God. Because there's people right now, and you're watching this online broadcast, and I want to speak very directly to you, if you would allow me to for a few moments. You know right now listening to me that you are not right with God. You cannot say with confidence that if I was to die today, and I'm praying for none of that, for any of us, of course, but when I die, you do not have a confidence that you're right with God, and you do not have a confidence that you would be spending eternity with him. See, the Bible says in Romans 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's a peace that God wants us to have in these situations, but that peace comes from being at peace with God and having peace with him. What does that mean? It means that we have come into a place through Jesus Christ where we are in a right relationship with God. And if you were to ask me in this time, what's the most important thing I could do on Resurrection Sunday? You're listening, you're saying, preacher, pastor, you know, Brendan, whatever you're calling me, what is the most important thing I can focus on? If you're in a place where you know you're not right with God, I want to invite you. I want to call you. I want to plead with you. Come to a right place with him. Come to a place of peace with God. Come to this right relationship with him. See, here's the gospel. Here's what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us, first and foremost, that all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's standard because of this sin, right? I'm not even pointing the finger at you. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about all of us. We've all sinned. To sin means to miss the mark. It means to break God's laws. It means to break his standard. And each one of us have sinned. all of us. And because of sin, we deserve punishment or we deserve judgment. It says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And because of sin, there is a result of death. That is not just physical death, but it's spiritual death. First and foremost, of being separated from God. Number two, spiritual death refers to be separated from God for eternity. And obviously that flows into the element of death in our natural lives. Now that verse says the wages of sin is death, but that's not where the verse finishes. It goes on and it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. You know, one of the things I've always learned about this word, but whatever it comes at, it always cancels out what it follows because it's telling you about a higher reality, right? If someone says to you, well, you know, I really like you, but, right? We know that I really like you doesn't matter anymore because something is coming after this, but that is carrying far more weight. Well, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we've all sinned. We all deserve judgment, but there's a free gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. There's a free gift. This eternal life includes protection. This eternal life includes peace. This eternal life includes provision. This eternal life includes right relations that bring us into a right relationship with God. And so I want to just ask you today, from the bottom of my heart, I want to come to you and say, are you right with God? Are you in a place of being at peace with him? Have you received this free gift of eternal life because he wants you to have it? He wants to give it to you today. It's why Jesus died and it's why he rose again. It was not just to create a religion. It was not just so we'd have some nice historical activity, you know, or that we can all think back on or create a holiday. It was because God said, I love you. I want to set you free from the wages of sin. I want to give you this free gift of eternal life. And so the gift is right there for us. But you know what? As with any gift, we still have to make a choice to receive it. You could come, you could want to give me a gift, but I still have to say, yes, I'll receive this gift. And so even though Jesus died and he rose again to make this gift available to us, we still have to make that decision to receive that gift. How do you receive that gift, you might ask? It's real simple. Number one, you recognize your need for it. Number two, you make a conscious decision to turn away from sin and to turn to Jesus. And number three, you call out to him and you ask him to save you and to change you. You declare Jesus as the Lord of your life. The Bible says, all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it's amazing because that word saved doesn't just refer to going to heaven when you die, even though it does, that's amazing. But it refers to God's life, his eternal life, coming into your life right now. That protection being in your life right now, that provision being in your life right now, that peace being in your life right now. And no matter what you face, no matter what battles you go through, no matter what comes down the road, we know who holds the future. And life is worth the living. Why? Because he lives. And so I just want to ask you today, as you're listening to me, are you right with God? Why not right now? Why not today? Let today be the day that you say, I'm going to be right with God. And so if you're hearing me and you're saying, yes, I need to be right with God, or maybe you were a Christian in the past, maybe you followed God, but you left, maybe you got hurt in church, or you went through some difficult circumstances and it kind of, your path drifted away from God, but you know in this season, I got to get back to God. I got back to right. He's right there waiting for you. The Father is waiting for you to come home to him. Will you say yes? Will you receive this gift? Will you come home to the Father? I'm in a place where almost I want to plead with you. We are seeing around us how fragile life is. We are seeing how short life can be. Don't push it off another day. Don't push it off another year. Make the decision now to come to Jesus. Make the decision now to come back to him. And if you want to do that with me, I want to invite you, just pray this simple prayer with me right now. All right, I'm going to pray it, and you repeat it after me. Say, dear Jesus, thank you so much for your love for me. Thank you that you came for me. Thank you that you died for me. And thank you that you rose again. Today, I make a decision to commit my life to you. I turn my back on sin. I come running to you. I receive this gift of eternal life. Help me from this day forward to follow you in every way. Thank you for dying for me, and thank you for rising again. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me today, I'm so glad that you did. And I want to encourage you. You have now by faith come in a position of being right with God. And what I want to ask you to do is this. On the screen right now and in the comments box, there is going to be some information that's coming up for you, some links that you can click on. We want to know that you have made this decision. We want to be able to pray with you. We want to be able to follow up with you. Would you please give us that opportunity? Again, we are going to treat your information with the utmost care. We definitely want to handle it well, but we want to know that you've made this decision, and we want to pray with you and to be able to help you and serve you in a whatever way we possibly can. This is the best decision you could ever make. Thank you so much. And to everyone else who's watching right now, just as we bring this to a close, I want to encourage you once again, because he lives. Because he lives. Come on, just declare it with me. Say, because he lives. And we can have faith. We can have confidence. We can have hope for the future. Even though we may not know what's coming, we know who holds this future in his hands. We know why life is worth the living. It is worth the living just because he lives. Amen. Awesome. Well, I just want to say a huge thank you to you for joining us today on our online worship experience. We were so glad to have you. Whether you're part of the TCC family, whether you're joining us from somewhere else, wherever you may be in the world, thank you for being here with us. As you go, we just want to remind you that we have some links and some information that's going to be coming up on the screen just to help you to know how to connect in more to what you're doing. If you were a guest with us today, we'd love to hear from you. Please just click on the link that is going to be provided to let us know that you've been here. If there's anything we can pray for you for, let us know. And we're going to bring this down to a close. I'm going to close in prayer for everyone here. But right after this, we are going to jump into our after party. And so just watch the screen for the information that you can connect in and get involved with the after party. It's going to be Pastor Sharon and I. We're just going to have some time to answer questions, just to dialogue, to interact. It's going to be a lot of fun. And so we welcome you to join us. But just as we go, thank you again so much. Let's remember, because he lives, because he lives, I mean, just because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that you live. We thank you that Jesus lives. And because he lives, we have protection. Because he lives, we have provision. Because he lives, we have peace with God. Because he lives, there are so many other things we could have preached and talked about today. Whatever our needs are, they are met because you live. And so I thank you for this revelation. I thank you for Thanksgiving. I thank you for rejoicing over every person today as we go forward. We love you, Lord. Thank you for just your hand on each one of us in this season. And so we thank you for us in the name of Jesus. And everyone agreed, said, amen. All right, remember, check out the screen, check out the comments for further information, and as well for any information about how you can get into our after party, Pastor Sharon and I would love to see you there. God bless you. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Have an amazing day, and we look forward to seeing you again soon here in our online experience of Toronto City Church. God bless.